Hello, welcome to Stats Radio with your hosts, Raz Reed, that's me, William Amari, and Edgar Passio. This will be our first podcast in a series of four. In each one, we will discuss some amount of chapters in the book How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Huff. This book runs the gamut of every popularly used type of statistic, probes such thing as the sample study, the tabulation method, the interview technique, or the way results are derived from the figures, and points up the countless number of dodges which are used to fool rather than to inform. In our first podcast, we'll talk about chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book. So, let's begin.
Yeah.
All right. In the first chapter...
That was basically like the sample bias, right?
Yeah.
And they made a point that basically like people have, I mean, every like statistic that you read about is derived from like a sample and everything. Sometimes these samples can be like skewed or biased in like many different ways.
Right. Example of that was the average Yaleman, the average graduate of Yale, which was
how much figured, they made.
Yeah, how much the average graduate of Yale made after graduation, which was used in the Time magazine, and they said that they made approximately $25K a year. But this book pointed out that the people they interviewed were really the only ones who were willing to have an interview. The people who were willing to have an interview were probably the ones who were making a lot of money, and the people who weren't probably weren't making as much, so they weren't really as willing to like talk about how little money they were making.
That's true, too. There's also, like, I think they were talking about, like, weren't they talking about magazines, which I forget about the name, but they were, like, basically, like, the sample that they were, like, trying to ask, like, which type of magazine do you prefer to read, and they went to, like, certain places where they know that they read a certain magazine,
yeah,
and so they
right.
could say, like, oh, this certain amount of people prefer to read this magazine over this magazine. And so that's kind of like another way that the sample could be like completely biased and give you like not necessarily false information, but like not very like fair, made to basically like fool the person reading.
Yeah, specifically
so.
Because some people might have been embarrassed to admit what magazines they were actually reading.
Right.
A better way to actually see what magazines people were reading were... would be to go door to door and say that I'm buying old magazines, what do you have? And people would probably be more honest because there's they benefit from telling you what magazines they have.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Any other examples?
The Yale one, it's also like relating to what you said. If students dropped out of Yale or they graduated Yale and still don't make as much money.
Right.
They also wouldn't be as willing to tell how much they make, or those people practically just fall off the grid. Like, they can't find them, or they don't even try as hard.
Yeah.
And that's just to just impress high school students and other college applicants.
All right.
Yeah.
I think we can move on to the next chapter. That's chapter 2. In chapter 2, we discussed the book discussed the different types of averages. So let me quickly review the different types of averages for our viewers. There is mean, median, and mode. The mean is the arithmetic average in which you take the sum of all your data and divide it by the number of data. Mm-hmm. And the median is... The median is the number that's right in the middle of your data. It's the middle number, basically. And the mode is the number that appears most often. Usually, you're using median or mean. Mode is a little less popular. But in this chapter, they pointed out, they gave the example of selling houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, house prices. So basically, at one point, they could tell you a house costs this amount of money.
Yeah, if you're a real estate seller.
Yeah, and then later, as you start paying that much, they might say it costs less now, or the average home costs less, or it might cost more, and that really just throws people off. But that's another thing. It's like, it's not a way to lie. It's just using the loose term of average to your advantage.
Yeah, right, because yeah. the one specifically that they used was arithmetic average, which is mean, and mean in this case was higher than the median. However, also in the same example, they said there's a member of some taxpayers committee. They're circulating a petition to keep the tax rate down, or assessments down, or the bus fare down, or whatever. Then they're saying that they can't afford the increase because, after all, the average income in the neighborhood is only $3,500 a year. And that's an example of how you would use different sorts of averages to make your point.
Yeah.
And, all right, we're going to move on to chapter 3. And chapter 3 was titled The Little Figures That Are Not There.
And so I guess, like, what this talks about is, like, doesn't it discuss its, like small samples and,
yeah,
like
the statistics used by marketing
advertising. Exactly.
Yeah, really, it's about how using certain samples to your advantage and, like, misleading samples. So they gave the example in this chapter of, they said, science proves that tossed pennies come up heads 80% of the time. And obviously common sense says that, well, it's 50% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 chance. Either it's head or it's tails. But you could have a sample in which you flip a penny 5 times and say it comes up heads 4 times out of 5, then you would say that 80% of the time it comes up heads. And that's an example of a misleading sample because it's not actually the probability. It's not the theoretical probability of flipping a coin. It's the experimental probability.
They also talk about how they also use the word normal very loosely. They use it to describe something.
Like babies and stuff?
Like babies.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The age at which they might sit or which they may start reading. And, like, people could confuse that with the word desirable. Like, that's an age your child probably should be able to read instead of, like, that's an age all babies can read. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, all babies aren't the same. No one's the same, and that freaks people out. And then companies could use their emotions of parents to try to sell them things to help their babies
yeah.
supposedly read faster or
exactly.
learn to sit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that pretty much wraps it up for this podcast. In the next one, we're going to be discussing chapters 4, 5, and 6. And yeah, stay tuned. Thank you for listening.